So when you wash your face or your hands, is your skin scrubbed by little plastic beads? Do you go for the product that has those tiny balls in them? Well, your favourite face wash might be harming the environment and it could soon be banned in the United States. I do, actually, and I've been feeling guilty all day. And I don't know what's going to happen to you after this story, but you might feel the same. The House of Representatives has approved a bill to phase out products that include microbeads. And the legislation now faces the Senate. There have been similar moves towards getting rid of them in Australia from the government and the personal care industry. Professor Emma Johnson is from the University of New South Wales and the Sydney Institute of Marine Studies. She's done research into microplastics in Australian waterways. Emma, welcome to Drive.
Oh, good afternoon, or evening it is now.
Yeah, we are so totally evening right now. What are microbeads? What sort of products are they in?
So microbeads are tiny little plastic spheres, and, you know, usually anything that's plastic and it's smaller than 1 millimetre is considered a microplastic. Now, we've just started adding them to a lot of different products, particularly beauty products, but also toothpaste, for example. And they're there for a number of different reasons, but they always end up in our waterways because our treatment plants, which usually deal with all of the water that's washed down the sink, can't actually get rid of them. So then they accumulate in the waterway.
Okay. So I didn't know that till today. I feel bad for not knowing it. It sounds
Well, the good news is you can easily replace your product. So that's one thing that consumers can do straight away is they can stop buying products which have polyethylene in them. You can identify it easily by looking at the coloured beads, but sometimes you can just look at the ingredients as well. So they're sometimes called polyethylene, it's hard to pronounce, microspheres.
Okay, if you can't pronounce it, then I can't, so I'll just leave it there. Are the United States ahead of a lot of other countries when it comes to regulating microbeads?
Actually, the US is kind of catching up with Europe, certainly they're ahead of Australia. And that's something that we really need to move a little bit quicker on. In Australia, we've been talking about phasing out microbeads for a couple of years now, and there's certainly a Senate inquiry going on about the impacts of microplastics and what we might do about it. But legislatively, we're lagging behind. So the US has many, many states which have already banned microbeads, and now it's actually happened in House of Reps. So it's a federal nationwide plan to phase out microbeads starting 1st of July 2017.
There were efforts last year to phase them out in Australia, weren't they, and to ban them in different states. Where's that at currently?
Well, that's right. So we found microplastics, which come in all sorts of forms, so not just the beads, but many, many microplastics are actually in the fibrous form, so tiny little fibres that might come out of your jacket. We found a lot of them in the sediments of Sydney Harbour. Some of the concentrations are 50,000 times the concentrations of the plastics in the big giant ocean garbage patch that many people would have heard about already. So we're talking about really high concentrations, and certainly we've just recently found them in high concentrations in the guts of fish as well. And that's prompted people to say, well, okay, it's time to move. But a lot of the movement at the moment has been in the form of self-regulation, so encouraging industry to phase those products out themselves. And, you know, that can take some time.
So it's about convincing industry to phase them out rather than just...
Well, there are different ways of approaching this. One way is to get industry to phase them out themselves. And then there are also, you know, top-down approaches. And it feels like in the US they're moving towards that top-down approach. And it's probably because industry sometimes doesn't move quite quickly enough.
What is the scale of the problem, I mean, compared to other plastic waste?
Microplastics are probably the biggest problem for smaller organisms and also for the transfer of other toxic chemicals. So the larger plastics, they can certainly cause big issues for the big vertebrates, for the birds, for fish and for turtles. And microplastics have been found in the guts of many, many organisms that are smaller. They're also in the fish and the turtles. So they kind of sweep across the whole suite of species in terms of their existence in those species. There's more than 600 species have found with anthropogenic debris in their bodies, and a good proportion of that are microplastics. So in Sydney Harbour, for example, and this is just really recent research done with a student of mine, Jen Halstead, and the Sydney University as well as UNSW, we recently found that 33% of the mullet, for example, had recently ingested microplastics, and we were able to identify what type of polymer that ingested as well. So that's just a snapshot of the mullet that you caught immediately in Sydney Harbour. It's a recreationally targeted fish. It's something that people eat. Well, 33% of them had microplastics in their gut.
Okay. I'm so alarmed by that statistic. Do you think part of the problem is that this is not a well-known about problem, that people are buying these products without really knowing the consequences?
It's very true, and it's what we call an emerging contaminant of concern. And unfortunately, we have a system where we're constantly dealing with these emerging contaminants of concern. Now, that's not to say that scientists and regulators haven't been saying, well, that, you know, this could be a problem. It's that the general understanding of this as an issue and the potential toxicity hasn't been studied enough for there to be that overwhelming body of evidence for people to say, okay, we really need to take the opportunity right now to stop letting them into the environment. Now, the alternative way of doing this is to take a more precautionary approach, but that does hamper the development of new industries. So we have this toss-up here between a conservative, precautionary approach that would let fewer chemicals into the system and would cost more for new startups and industry versus the cost that we pay when we end up with a contaminant of concern in the environment and we can't get rid of it. We literally cannot get microplastics out of the system, because once they're in there, you can't vacuum clean Sydney Harbour. You know, it's not something that I can extract at all. And that means that we have to wait until these products break down. And with plastic, the issue is that they're, you know, highly persistent.
Emma, thank you for coming on and explaining it so articulately. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
And that's Professor Emma Johnson from the University of New South Wales and the Sydney Institute of Marine Studies. You're listening to RN Drive.